Okay, I just want to make sure. Welcome. The show is called Immunize Wisely, and I'm your host, Ingrid Castle, and I'm the director of Vaccination Liberation, and I do have a wonderful guest today. And before I introduce her, I just want to make a couple announcements. As most people realize, the vaccine world is heating up with the loss of the religious exemption in New York State. It's still not over. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and a few others are still in court over it. So that's not quite a done deal. What's more concerning is what's going on in California, where there's no exemptions at all if they have their way. The medical exemption is actually under threat. So, we're looking at these two states. There's people leaving in droves. I know the population in Idaho has increased incredibly, and a lot of these people are from California, to just try to protect their kids from the harm vaccines are causing. And in the meantime, we're trying to wake people up to just, seeing the damage that's being done. So we have Joy Garner with the Control Group. She is taking this issue to federal court on two main issues. We have a state of national emergency right now. A study that was done, gosh, it was 2009, 2010, where they assembled a bunch of data on the health of the children in the United States. So this was a nationwide analysis of the health of all of our children. It was published in 2011. Now we're looking at these stats being close to 10 years old. And at that time, it was 54% of all children across the country were chronically ill. We're talking cancer, leukemia, autism spectrum disorders, seizure disorders, you name it. We're talking chronic, like anaphylaxis, where they're around someone with a peanut butter sandwich and they can, go into anaphylactic shock. So this is serious, chronic, serious illnesses in our children, over half. And so when you look at that, this is a state of national emergency, and certainly our government agencies aren't doing anything about it at all. And as many people realize, vaccines are just the tip of the iceberg. We have glyphosate, we have prenatal ultrasounds, as we discussed in other shows. And I want to bring up that Children's Health Defense. If you go to Children's Health Defense, I think it's dot, is it dot org or dot com? Oops, I'm pretty bad. My guest will correct me on that one. Anyway, Children's Health Defense. You'll find it on the internet. It's Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s website, but he has a whole team of people working with him that are just incredible, and the articles are stellar. And the most recent articles I'm sharing widely. Plus, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Many people realize that he had three family members pretty much attack him. In May, and it was on Politico, and then the mainstream media picked up this story that they're, chastising their, little nephew, making it like he was an out of control child, and of course he did a rebuttal, but it wasn't published. Another censoring of information. So he finally, after trying to get it published, with Politico, I'm sorry, that website. Failed to publish it. He tried to publish it elsewhere, but I believe. But anyway, he published it on his own website, and it's been picked up by Vaccine Impact News and other channels. So it's really a stellar rebuttal, and I've been sharing it widely. And I just hope people that are listeners actually do their part to get this information out, because we are in a state of national emergency. And I want people, if you know anyone that's trying to maintain being unvaccinated, please have them download the survey at thecontrolgroup.org. That's thecontrolgroup.org, and have them mail it to Joy, because she is taking it to federal court. She's seeking an injunction, because it is a national emergency, and most of you know that. So we need to stop this beast in its tracks before it does any further damage to our country. So without further ado, oh, I want to mention too, Mayor Bailey has done a great job providing a chat room for us. So if you go to Immunize Wisely with a Z, that's WIZELY, Immunize Wisely, and then dot chat and go, that's chatango.com. She is great about posting additional information. So I just want everyone to realize that they can participate in the chat during the show. So my guest today is Alex Meyer, and she's a health strategist. In the 1990s, she ran a worldwide research group at Apple until six vaccines disabled her with brain damage and chronic fatigue syndrome. Today, Alex enjoys an 80% managed recovery from both vaccine-induced brain damage and chronic fatigue. She has recently teamed up with Children's Health Defense, working pro bono on communications. Alex received her master's in business administration from Northwestern University. Her background in business has led to her being an effective activist, spearheading several vaccine awareness actions in California and nationally. This past spring, Alex and a few others created the VAERS Awareness Project. VAERS stands for Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. It's a national grassroots effort to raise awareness of the necessity of recognizing known vaccine reactions and reporting these ailments to the federal government's vaccine adverse event reporting system. More recently, she was involved in producing a five-minute video on vaccine dangers with the intention of breaking Facebook's algorithms and getting the video out to people who have no idea how toxic, unscientific, and outright criminal today's FDA-licensed vaccines truly are. Tonight, Alex and I will be discussing the success of this grassroots project as well as guerrilla marketing tactics in this age of digital censorship. I love that lesson. She wrote that, and it's great. Guerrilla marketing tactics in this age of digital censorship. And this is great because it's such an honor to have you on the show. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you so much, Ingrid. It's so great to be here.
Yeah, I wanted you to just go ahead and share some of your background because that's an abbreviated version. It's like everything in your life has led to what you're doing now, and you're so effective at what you do. People just, whatever Alex has to do, I'm going to do it because she knows what she's doing and she's effective. And you've really done a great job on so many fronts, and you have such a bright, shiny disposition. It's like it's infectious, it's like, yeah, I want to be with Alex because she makes this depressing activism, it can be depressing, she makes it fun and exciting. So with that, I want you to just go ahead and share with us a little bit about you and how you got to this point.
Yeah, thanks for that, Ingrid. I would love to. First, I want to make a clarification that I did recently join the board of Children's Health Defense, but I'm an activist outside of Children's Health Defense as well, and so a lot of projects I work on are not associated with Children's Health Defense. So I just want to make that clear before we start talking. And I can, yes. I can share what I know that's public about Children's Health Defense too. But a lot of the guerrilla strategies are not with Children's Health Defense at all, and with a group of activists actually on a list where you and I met. So anyway. Right. It is really fun to do this work. I always love working in a group. I mean, even like Friday, we were talking about writing a press release, and I'm like, okay, who wants to do it with me? Because I like working with other people. So I really get a kick out of getting groups together, assembling people to make bigger things happen and to make them happen in a more fun way, as you said. So you asked about my background. How did I get here? Mm-hmm. And my background, like what led to some of these projects being successful, I'd say it's what you said, a convergence of a lot of different things happening in my life. I started out wanting to go into advertising because I had an aunt who, she had her own ad agency on the top of the Wrigley building in Chicago, and I grew up in Chicago, and she did advertising for Wrigley's gum, and she actually wrote the Double Mint Twins ad. And I mean, that's got to be like the longest jingle in history, double your pleasure, double your fun with Wrigley's Double Mint Gum. And I thought that was so cool. And my family's kind of got a history of being in pop culture and, packaged goods. My other family I grew up in is the Oscar Mayer family. And those have two of the most successful jingles of all time. One from, I think it was the 60s, is I Wish I Were an Oscar Mayer Wiener. Maybe it was the 50s. And then the other one is My Baloney Has a First Name. It's OSCAR. And that's from the 80s. And so all that together really made me want to go into advertising. And I ended up doing that after college. I went to Duke for college and came back to Chicago, went into advertising and realized, you know, I'd rather be on the side where, you know, the companies make things and they call the shots, you know, screw this service business. I want to call the shots. Right. So I went back to business school at Northwestern and got an MBA there. And that was in management strategy. And that turns out to just be exactly what I want to be doing. And strategy is always supported by research. So I've really been a researcher since, I'd say since the late 80s because of that. And so when I was working, I did end up working at Apple after business school. And when I got injured by the six vaccines, I was running a worldwide customer research group. And so my finger was on the pulse of all the data at Apple, you know, customer data, competitor data, sales data, perceptions, purchase cycle. And we're in this situation in 1996 where the wheels were falling off the wagon. Apple was going to go out of business. Steve Jobs wasn't back yet. And everybody was blaming everybody else for why Apple was falling apart. Like they wanted to say, well, you know, it's because this guy Sajiv put $1 million into product placement on the Mission Impossible movie. He wasted that much money. That's why Apple's going to go out of business. Or, you know, we're not doing competitive ads. You know, that's why we're going to go out of business. And I'm looking at the data. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not it. I actually just found out what's happening here, and it's our purchase cycle. And a purchase cycle starts with someone being aware of your brand or your product, and then you know, they are aware of it through something called aided awareness. Like you say, have you heard of Apple? They say yes, and so that's kind of the first step. And then there's unaided awareness. You ask someone, well, what companies have you heard of that are in the computer business? And if they say Apple, then you have unaided awareness. And then, you know, at a certain point, someone wants to buy a computer, and then you get in their consideration set. And then they decide that that's the computer they're going to buy, and they go to the store to buy it. And at that point, you have them. You can't lose any of those sales. And as it turned out, all the data showed that people who were going into the store, like Circuit City or Best Buy at the time, they were getting switched on the floor because the salespeople didn't know anything about Apple computers. They knew nothing. And so when somebody came in saying, I want to buy a Macintosh, they said, oh, how about this Compaq or IBM? And they were switching us on the sales floor. And it turned out you can't train these people because there's too much turnover. So I wrote a memo to the CEO at that time, who was Gil Amelio, and I said, hey, we need Apple-only stores. We're going to go out of business. And so that's kind of my claim to fame coming out of Apple. I unfortunately got six vaccines shortly after I wrote that email. But 5 years later, the first Apple store did appear, and that has helped keep Apple in business. So
wow, that's fascinating. Because you know, and then you had these six vaccines. You were an adult. So what prompted, did you travel? I mean, I just kind of want to know what they were and what prompted you to get six all at one time.
Yeah, I was going on a trip to Bali with my family, and I just went to travel medicine because that's where I knew I was supposed to go. And they said, well, you know, you could get Hep A from the water, so don't you want that shot? And I said, oh, of course. You know, I stuck out my arm and, well, how about Hep B? That's a new one. You know, you're not married yet, so you might want to be protected from Hep B. And I said, oh, sure. And they said, oh, well, it looks like you haven't been updated on your tetanus. And so I got that, which always comes with diphtheria. And then they said, oh, and you're not up to date on polio. So I got that. And then I got oral typhoid. And I think that's the six, Hep A, Hep B, diphtheria, tetanus, typhoid, and polio. So I got six vaccines at once. And 2 weeks later, I collapsed. And I was on the trip. My legs went out from under me. I started shaking. I started crying. I didn't know why. And I got a headache that, you know, I still have today. This is more than 20 years later, and I still have a headache every day, all day, 24/7. But I'm rid of all the rest of the symptoms that were very disabling at the time, thank goodness. So, it was intense. I didn't put two and two together. I kept getting worse and worse. And I like to say that I got a seventh shot that contained something called cognitive dissonance, because it took me so long to put the pieces together of like, oh, wait, cause and effect. I got 6 vaccines and I fell ill, but we're so conditioned to think it's not the vaccines that I was looking everywhere but those vaccines, right? And so,
wow, you remind me, you know, your story reminds me of Leslie Manoukian's story.
Yeah.
Which I believe you know, she produced The Greater Good, and she was my partner in the state doing NBIC advocacy and, you know, just, you know, networking the state. So, you know, I'm listening to you, and it's like, it sounds just like her, you know, because she had these travel shots too, and she didn't really make a connection, and it's still affecting her.
Exactly. Yeah. And we both came out of the business world. She and I connected on that, and we're like vaccine injury twins.
Yes.
And yeah. And so when this was all going on, I was still trying to hold down my job at Apple because I loved it. It was my dream career, my dream product that I wanted to work on. I thought I could change the world through computers. And I just kept getting worse. And every month went by and I was like, oh, wow, I can't lift my arms long enough to take a shower anymore. And, you know, that's okay. I'll just take a bath. And I wake up every morning feeling so nauseated. I must have always felt that way, you know. I'll just push through. I'll just get a ginger beer on the way to work, you know. I just did everything to deny what was happening to me. And then finally, I lost the ability to read and remember. And that was about 6 months into it. And that was it. I had to take a medical leave of absence at that time. And then I spent 3 years, 80% housebound, I'd say, until I discovered the gluten-free diet and then a whole bunch of other things that have brought me to about an 80% managed recovery where I am today.
So curious, you know, we worked on the vaccine adverse event reporting system project, the awareness project for VAERS, you know, and did you report it? Because I've asked so many people, I just have to tell you why I'm asking this. Anyone that's had an injury, I ask them, did you report it? And invariably, they say no, even if they filed with a vaccine injury compensation program.
I tried to report it, but I was missing the date of my hepatitis B vaccine. I actually got that at a different facility, and I cannot locate that doctor as hard as I try. So I don't know if I can complete the report or not. But should I go back and try?
Well, I mean, it's something because I feel like we have such underreporting, and this is what, to me, always has bothered me, is that they claim it's safe and effective, and it's all based on this underreporting, the fact that they purchase huge lots of vaccines. It's not based on total uptake. So there's a lot of shots that actually go to waste with that are purchased with Health and Human Services and elsewhere. You know, they go bad, or, you know, they have to be cost. And so, you know, they could be purchasing these large lots of vaccines. Not all of them are used.
Right.
And it's just, you know, there's so many things that skew the figures to make it like 1 in 10,000 or 1 in 100,000. And we know the rates of injury are much higher. And like I always say, it's the straw that broke the camel's back, in a sense, because we have a much more toxin-laden world. We have, we're living, you know, in a microwave universe now, and you're, you know, given prenatal ultrasounds at, in utero, and then the mother has all these toxins she's exposed to, and then, you know, if the baby survives that, they end up in the hospital with you know, what do they call it? Hugs and Halo, where they put these radiated monitors on their ankles to make sure they're not switched at birth. But I mean, I consider, you know, hospitals incredibly hot. But anyway, we're coming up on a commercial break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Immunize Wisely with Ingrid Castle and Alex Meyer.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Welcome back to Immunize Wisely. My guest is Alex Meyer, and I'm your host, Ingrid Castle. And I just we're talking about the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System and leading into the VAERS Awareness Project. So Alex, you know, you just found out, you know, when you started having children too. I mean, this is all like this huge wake-up call. What was the wake-up call that you connected it to the vaccines? I mean, that's what kind of puzzles me. You know, I mean, what was the big, you know, aha? That's what did it, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. It started to come on slowly because 6 years after I was vaccine injured and still didn't know that I'd been vaccine injured, I was married and I gave birth to a set of twins. And my friends' kids had started to have reactions, and some of my really good friends' kids were affected, and they started sending me books. And so I started reading them as my as I was pregnant, and then as my kids were starting to grow up. And at a certain point when they were one, I said, oh my God, I have to stop vaccinating them. There's just no way I can give them another one at this point, and I'm just going to wait. And then in that period, I did even more research, because as I said, I've been a researcher almost all my life. And so I took that corporate research lens and I put it toward health and medicine. And it was really easy for me to read the medical literature because I understand about statistics and probabilities and all that stuff. I designed and fielded and interpreted studies for so long. And it just hit me over the head like a ton of bricks. But then I still didn't put it together that I was vaccine injured, even though I'd stopped vaccinating my kids. And that I didn't put that together until probably 2010, when I was working with a really astute doctor who deals with vaccine injury, and she basically took a very detailed history, and then she laid out my vaccination record right next to that, and she said, do you see this here? Do you see where you got the six vaccines, and do you see how close in time it was that you started to have major symptoms and become disabled? And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And so that's what I needed.
Wow.
And so I've actually been a health consultant for people and a health strategist for 10 years. And I just retired from that this year. And I would do that for clients as well. and it works every time. You can see the cause and effect right there, right in front of you. And the key is not to bring the record out until the end. You get the whole history and you find like those places where their health just, you know, ka-chunked down, down, down. And then you show them that every time there was a big ka-chunk down, there's a vaccine or a series of vaccines right before. And it could be a few days to a few months usually, but it's just, you can't deny it after that.
Wow. So fascinating. So you're finding that a lot of these people after high school, I mean, they're still getting vaccines, whether it's a flu vaccine or travel vaccines.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd say I had mostly girls in my practice when it was open. And among them in the recent years, in the last 2 years of the practice was open, I had six Gardasil girls, women in their 20s who couldn't work because of Gardasil vaccine.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were talking before the break about VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, and you know how many vaccines are distributed, whether or not they're given is another story. But then there's also this issue of how many vaccine injuries are reported. And there's a Harvard Pilgrim study that was done, and it was CDC funded, showing that fewer than 1% of vaccine injuries are ever reported. But there were about 2.6% of people who had serious enough injuries that they needed to be reported. So that's a huge gap. And there's a lot of people. Yeah, and these are only immediate reactions. And that 2.6% of injuries that was found in the Harvard Pilgrim study, that doesn't include latent conditions like autoimmune disease that come later. Like Dr. Yehuda Schoenfeld, who's so highly respected because he's written books and textbooks on autoimmunity. He wrote a textbook called Vaccines and Autoimmunity. He found that the latency period after vaccines and the onset of an autoimmune condition can be up to 8 years. So, that 2.6% injury rate that was found in the Harvard Pilgrim study is far, far higher if you include the latent conditions.
Yes.
And that's actually...
I deal with people that have cancer, and, you know, I'm not seeing anyone that's never been vaccinated have, you know, cancer, although it does happen, you know, because we have so many carcinogens in our world right now. But vaccines are usually, you know, the first assault that kind of opens up your body to accepting more toxins, you know, because to me, you know, that whole censoring mechanism is skewed once you start accepting this, you know, through injection, these toxins into your body and not, you know, I always liken it to a snake bite that's not properly treated.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Well, you have the foreign protein and the poison, you know.
Right.
The venom.
That's right. It is. It's all poison. And it's hard for people to wrap their head around the fact that autoimmune disease doesn't just happen to you and doesn't happen for a random reason. But one of the ways I'm successful in getting people to understand that vaccines are a cause of autoimmune disease is to talk about the aluminum in vaccines. And I know a break is coming up, so I don't know how deeply I should get into it right now. But the aluminum connection to autoimmune disease it's irrefutable. It's a biological mechanism, and it totally makes sense once you understand how it works on the immune system.
Exactly. And there's certainly been a lot written about that. And we are coming up on a break. I just haven't heard the music yet.
So what I like to do, so before the break hits, and we'll resume after we come back, is, I like to talk about the mouse and the rat studies where researchers can induce asthma and allergies in lab rodents by using aluminum. And they give them a shot of aluminum or they give them a shot of an aluminum-containing vaccine like diphtheria, tetanus, and they can reliably give them allergies and asthma and food allergies. So how could we think that's any different in human beings? And then if you think about the fact that we're telling the immune system to make antibodies, it only follows that you could start making antibodies to self also and have an autoimmune disease.
Exactly. Yeah, in fact, David Ayoub, he had some earlier lectures before the aluminum connection was made in a huge way. He figured that aluminum was much more of a trigger for the autism spectrum disorders we're seeing in children than mercury.
Oh, it makes so much sense.
Okay, we are. dealing with a break. So you're listening to Alex Meyer on Immunize Wisely.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect.
Welcome back to Immunize Wisely. So we're talking about aluminum, Alex, and there's so much about, you know, injecting it into your system rather than, you know, consuming. I mean, I've seen books on how people are highly allergic to aluminum, and this one autistic kid, he's not autistic, but that was an earlier book that I sold for a while, and it was all incredible allergic reactions to everything aluminum, this kid, until they started, you know, eliminating the aluminum and detoxing his system from the aluminum. But what exactly is the aluminum doing in the shots that's leading to so many autoimmune conditions and other conditions?
Yeah, this is a point of endless fascination for me. I'm not a scientist, but this is how I explain it to people from my research. And basically, mm-hmm. when we get an injection of aluminum, we're getting that because our bodies would not mount the proper immune response to the antigens in those vaccines. And 60% of the vaccines contain aluminum because our body just doesn't recognize these bacterial antigens as, I guess, vicious enough. That's not exactly the right word. But anyway, we put it in there to boost the immune response to the antigens in the vaccine. But if you've ever gone on the CDC site and looked up the list of ingredients in vaccines, you've got aborted fetal cells, you've got all the top food allergens, you've got casein, which is a protein in milk. You've got bovine serum. You've got egg protein, and so all of that's in there. And there was an old joke about a thermos. Like, how does it know to keep hot things hot and cold things cold? It doesn't. Well, that's the same as your immune system. If you're injecting your immune system with a whole bunch of proteins, which are called antigens, it doesn't know what you want the immune system to make antibodies to. And it's going to make antibodies to anything it wants while the aluminum is in there. And that's why we have all these food allergies. And you can just go find a list of the top food allergies and get the list of the foods and vaccines. And it's like a one-to-one match. And it's no surprise because we already know this. Science knows this. Researchers, as I said, are in labs creating food allergy and asthma in lab mice and lab mice by injecting them with aluminum. And so we know this. We know we're creating allergies. And, you know, that was shown in an independent vaccinated versus unvaccinated study by Anthony Mawson in 2016, where he found a 30 times risk of allergic rhinitis, which is allergies, in the vaccinated kids compared to the unvaccinated kids. And that's just, mm-hmm. I would say that's the mildest risk of vaccines. And so in terms of like autoimmune disease, that's the hallmark of autoimmune disease is also antibodies. And those are antibodies not to the foods in the vaccines. Those are antibodies to self. And whether, you know, there's human proteins that cross-react with antigens in the vaccines or some other mechanism, I can't say. But I know that the vaccines are causing us to respond to ourselves in an autoimmune reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually
wow.
Understand it and get it at that point because we have a biological mechanism. It's plausible.
Yes.
So,
you know, we have all of these illnesses that can be attributed to many of the vaccine ingredients, not the least of which is aluminum, of course. So what, you know, what are some of the things you recommend to help people recover? I mean, have you ever done like clay baths? I mean, there's so many things that's, you know, like once it's in your system, it's, you know, I find it actually difficult, especially the way it's injected in. It seems to be difficult to detox from these kinds of injections, and which is why I think you probably have what you're saying, 80% recovery. So what do you, you know, what are some of the tactics you use or, you know, health advice that you use?
Yeah, when I was working as a health consultant, I thought metal detox was really important. So that was one of the things I'd have people do, whether it was to use a ionic foot bath, which has been shown to actually mm-hmm. be better than all of the chelators combined
yes.
by Klinghart. It's just fascinating. Or
yes.
people Fiji water, which is specific for aluminum to get aluminum out. Or there's mm-hmm. a called a cymotherapy device, and actually my feet are on my cymotherapy device right now, and there's a channel actually for detox on this device, and not only does it detox metals and toxins, it also detoxes radiation.
Oh.
Which is just a knock.
Wow, that's pretty... So it detoxes radiation. I mean, you know, Deanna Spingola just had an amazing guest on, you know, the radiation issue and 5G and just how harmful it is to our health. And I know my friend Peter Tosi is, you know, there is literally no safe level. I mean, it accumulates in your body. So anything you can do to detox from radiation that we're all being exposed to, the better.
I totally agree. My mom died of the long-term effects of radiation poisoning. She got Hodgkin's lymphoma after she gave birth to me and my brother, and she was saved by radiation. She was radiated for 6 weeks straight from her chin down to her hips. But 35 years later, all of her tissue was just destroyed and her heart stopped beating. But because of her story, I've always been incredibly wary of radiation and, you know, the bioaccumulation of ionizing radiation. I have a tip for viewers, for listeners about how to go through airport security. Are we still connected? I'm just going to keep talking, assuming that we're still connected. So airport security, if you can't raise your arms above your head, you can go through the metal detector. You don't have to go through what's called the naked body scanner. And so if you have a frozen shoulder, which you might be able to demonstrate by having a sling but just by telling them that you have a frozen shoulder, you can just go straight through the metal detector and not have to wait an extraordinary amount of time for a pat down. So, anyway, it's just one thing I found. And if you wear a sling, which I had to wear recently because I broke my wrist on a hoverboard, that's another story. You don't have to say anything and they'll just kind of route you around it. But the sling is really interesting in terms of a guerrilla marketing strategy. So we're getting to the topic of the radio show right now. And if you wear a sling through security so that you don't have to go through the naked body scanner because you can't raise your arm, some people might ask you what happened and why you're wearing the sling. And you can say, oh, I have frozen shoulder. I got it from a vaccine. And they'll say, you're kidding, which vaccine? And I'll say, the tetanus vaccine. They said, no way. I'll say, way. And I say, you know, frozen shoulder after tetanus vaccine is very common. In fact, it's so common that you can report it as an injury after a vaccine, and you could get $250,000 in compensation for it. And when they put all that together, that like, oh my gosh, the government recognizes it and I can get $250,000 if this happens to me, it makes it very real for people. So it was it was a really funny discovery when I that just like popped in my head to tell somebody that about my shoulder. And so I've been doing it for a while now. And so there's two benefits. I can get through security faster without the naked body scanners, and I can do a little bit of guerrilla marketing one-on-one with people to tell them about how vaccines can cause frozen shoulder.
Wow, that's incredible. Because that's the whole thing. You go through these airports and it's like, oh my gosh, I won't fly. I mean, I said that a while back, right, at a 9/11 conference I went to in Arizona, and the security was so intense we missed our flight. And you know, I swore I'd never fly again, and then I had to fly to deal with my aging parents in Virginia, and I just kind of sucked it up. But yeah, this security, you know, TSA stuff, you know, I'm not going to be molested, sorry. And I'm not going to do like some people, you know, where they've made fun of the whole thing by trying to be naked underneath, you know, some see-through clothes or something.
Oh, right.
You know, so they can see everything. I mean, you know, so the whole thing is so ridiculous.
I know. So you want me to take off my outerwear? Wink, wink. It's actually my innerwear too.
Yeah, right.
Jokes on you. I like that.
Right. I don't know. I guess I have my freedom boundaries. You know, this is why I do this work, because it's too out there to me, you know, this overreaching government here, you know. And that, you know, to me, 9/11, what they did afterwards was just a big test. And now what they're doing with the vaccine mandates is further, you know, down that rabbit hole of we own you, you know.
Oh, is it ever. I live in California. I don't know if your listeners want an update on California, because I don't know how
yes.
big. Okay. Yeah, California is.
We actually have a lot of people in California paying attention to this issue, and that are listeners.
Oh, fantastic. So I've been really involved in the California legislation, and there is some hope. The hope is that behind the scenes in private, we're getting reports that legislators don't want to vote for this bill. They just feel like they have to. And it's not necessarily because they're all paid off, because not all of them are paid off. It's more like they feel like they have to vote along party lines. But privately, they have huge reservations about this bill. And the biggest reservation they have, like the talking point that's working best with our legislators right now, is that this is not a California for all bill. It involves the institution of a database. And California doesn't do databases, especially for the disenfranchised. California is a sanctuary state, if you will. And legislators really feel protective of immigrants and other people who might not want to go into a database. And believe it or not, that's the talking point that's working the best with them. So if it works, I'll go with it.
Right. At this point, anything that works. I mean, this
exactly.
is just, it's too outrageous. The whole, I mean, you have two children. Are they under 18?
They're about to turn 18. Yeah. So they're going to be okay.
So are you homeschooling, or are they in high school? Do they have medical exemptions?
They're in high school with legally perfected medical exemptions. Yep. Because my daughter did have a reaction. This is another story your listeners should hear. My daughter, when I stopped vaccinating, they were one. And then when my twins turned two, there was a measles outbreak in a nearby city. And I was like, oh, no, I better give them that one. And so the Monavalent measles vaccine was still available at the time. It wasn't, MMR, which is the only thing available right now. You could still get separate measles, separate mumps, separate rubella. And so I gave my kids the measles vaccine. And she had a reaction. She ran a high fever. She started having really bad bowel problems, skin rashes, molluscum contagiosum. Very weird stuff, and some behavior issues, anxiety. She'd cry when we had the art class over. And this went on long enough that I thought, oh, God, okay, no more vaccines. You know, this is my sign that it's just too much. And 3 years after that vaccine, I took her to a very astute doctor who looked at me and said, you know, these symptoms are telling me something. Has she ever had the measles vaccine? I said, yeah, she did about 3 years ago. And he goes, let's get her titers tested for measles. And so those antibodies I was talking about earlier, we had her antibody tested for measles. And when we got the lab test back, it was such an unusual result at the time. This is 2006. that the lab technician accidentally called my house to report the result that she was contagious for measles almost 3 years after her measles vaccine. And then the wildest thing happened, which is that I treated her with high-dose vitamin A, and it worked. It seroconverted her from an IgM response, which is this contagious state, to an IgG response, which just means that you've had the disease in the past, whether it be from the vaccine or a natural infection. And so she converted. But guess what happened when I gave her vitamin A?
What?
She broke out in a measles rash, and she gave measles.
Wow.
To me and her twin brother, and I have pictures of all of it.
Wow.
Yeah, and so interestingly, in 2000...
That's incredible.
Yeah, in 2006, she was one of the reportable cases of measles in 2006. There were only 31, and she was one of them. But her brother and I were not reported, because we never had titer testing.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? So I don't know how many
yes.
people gave measles to. And that was from the vaccine. She was contagious from the measles vaccine, which is what Senator Pan says can't happen. He says you can get a measles-like illness after the vaccine, but it's not contagious. Well, Exhibit A over here says, yes, it can be contagious. And if there's one case, there could be more.
Exactly. And then there's atypical measles, too.
Exactly.
Are you familiar with atypical measles? Yeah.
It's a vaccine reaction that's supposedly non-contagious, right?
Supposedly. It's, you know, basically it's driving this viral component of the vaccine deep into your system. And this is what Andrew Wakefield, you know, saw that in these people that had leaky gut syndrome, all these children had serious bowel issues and digestive issues, that they all seem to have the vaccine strain of a measles virus in their gut, in their colon. So, and he felt like that was leading to the permeability with this particular virus, but he never, you know, made any conclusions. It was basically, he felt that there needed to be further studies. It was a fairly small sampling of children.
That was a case series. That was never meant to be a policy changing paper. I mean, you don't like study 12 kids and change the vaccination policy with it. That was all the media
exactly.
did that. That was a circus.
Oh, right. In fact, I've been accused, you know, of, you know, I'm not vaccinating because of Andrew Wakefield. I'm like, what are you talking about? I come from a non-vaccinating family. We were wise to this way, way before that.
Exactly.
So
yeah, it's really funny how they try to make people who don't vaccinate seem dumb, or like we're more stupid than the rest of the population. But mm-hmm. I found it the exact opposite. I'm working with some of the smartest people I've ever worked with in my life, and I went to Duke. I graduated from a top business school in the country, and these are the smartest people I've ever worked with, including
exactly.
you. I learned.
Well, yeah, no, I.
Whoa.
That's very sweet of you, Alex. But, you know, I can't say that I'm all brains. I mean, I look at you and the other people on base camp, and, you know, you guys can walk circles around me when it comes to that kind of school knowledge. You know, I did get a bachelor's degree, but it was, you know, psychology and religious studies and, you know, nothing real practical.
Yeah, I get it. No, I was a French major in undergrad, so I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life at that point, obviously.
I'm still figuring it out.
Exactly. So did you want to talk about the VAERS awareness campaign?
I actually do. I did post it in the chat room, some details so people know what it is. But, you know, what happened is there was a doctor in California that, you know, was, you know, giving us some ideas on how to make vaccine injuries and, you know, the harm that vaccines cause, you know, just raise awareness nationwide so people just emphatically say, no, I'm not going to do that. I mean, we literally need a mass resistance to all of this. So in order to stimulate that, we needed to use some of the tools to break through that that trance that people are in, that, you know, the government is good, they care about us, and, you know, the CDC is, you know, giving us good information, blah, blah, blah. You know, I trust my doctor. Well, the way to break through that, which the first stage would be the government has a program. Okay, we're coming up on a break. Let's kind of continue there, but you can talk about it too. Anyway.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSite Bonus. Those who are now FrontSite members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSite, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSite, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Earlier about the VAERS Awareness Project, and I just went off on how it started, and it was basically, you know, the psychological breakthrough that we needed to do with people that are totally unaware and trust the government. And this doctor suggested that we do something with a vaccine adverse event reporting system, because it's a government program. And you're supposed to report, and nobody seems to know about it. And very few people actually do report. They say less than 1%, but you talk to nurses that work in emergency rooms where they see lots and lots of vaccine-injured children, and you know, they never report them. It takes too much time. It's not in their budget. You know, they have many excuses. They're not being paid to, you know, do this passive reporting system. So anyway, do you want to go ahead and talk about it more and how you got excited about it, because you're the one that took the idea and made it a reality for the rest of the people that are on our list.
I can't take all the credit at all. This started out, as you said, it's an email list with almost 400 people on it, doctors, PhDs, researchers, nurses, you name it, and just like super vaccine educated people. And we just started having a giant group brainstorm, and it got really exciting. And I think, you know, it had started out before this idea of promoting the VAERS as like, you know, let's do a meme project. And then I went and like researched what it would take to like make a meme go viral. And I'm like, nah, you guys, we're not up to it. You know, most of us on this list are kind of old, and memes are all, you know, for younger people, and they're really derivative of the meme that was, you know, popular the day before. And that's not really, you know, what we're trying to do here. And so we really hit on this idea of publicizing the vaccine adverse events reporting system. And this is the place people go within 3 years of your vaccine injury, you have to report. And if you do it within 3 years, then you can take your case to what's called vaccine court, the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund, basically, and try to get compensation for your injury. But if you miss this window of 3 years, then you can't get compensation. And it's just a crime. For example, in my case, I was injured in 1996, and it wasn't until 13 or 14 years later that I figured it out. And, you know, they're counting on people like me who get a shot of cognitive dissonance to lapse that 3 year period. So unfortunately, you know, I never got compensation for this, and there's no chance I ever will. So we wanted to publicize VAERS. And the interesting thing that Ingrid just mentioned about VAERS is that it's a government program. So you can actually go to a website and it'll say, you know, Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. And so it legitimizes the whole idea. Like, this isn't some like crazy anti-vaxxer stuff. This is real. This is a government program. And so we use that as what's called in advertising as a trust indicator, that this is actually real, that this isn't like a piece of propaganda. And so we started there. And then the idea came that, you know, what's really good for people to know is that if their injury had something to do with vaccines, because they go around so unaware, like I did, and most people do, for a decade or more.
Okay, we're finishing the first hour. You're listening to Ingrid Castle with her guest, Alex Meyer. We're going to continue after the break.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.